Ajax and Teucerus met him now together. Teucerus put a shaft in the bright belt on which his shield hung, but Zeus brushed away death's shadow from his child. His fate was not to die abaft the ships. Though Ajax lunged and hit the shield, his point would not pass through. It only stopped Sarpedon. He fell back a little from the crumbled battlement, not in retreat, though, but still craving honor, and whirled and called his godlike countrymen, "Lycians, why are you lagging, slackening off your driving power? It is hard for me alone, strong as I am, to make a breakthrough, clear away to the ships. Come up alongside. More hands here will do a better job." Inwardly shrinking from their lord's rebuke, they bunched around him and attacked in force. The Argives, for their part, inside the wall, reinforced their companies. Both found it heavy work, for neither could the Lycians breach the wall and clear away to the ships, nor could Danaan spears dislodge the Lycians from the wall once they had reached it. Think of two men contending over boundary stones, each with his measuring rod, in the common field, in a narrow place, disputing what is fair. So here the parapet divided these, and for the parapet they tore each other's chest-protecting, oxhide aproned shields. Many were gashed by the cold-hearted bronze. Every man who left his back uncovered, turning, and some men threw the shield itself, and everywhere, towers and battlements, were blood-bespattered from both sides. But still the attacking Trojans could not rout the Achaeans. They held. Think of an honest cottage spinner, balancing weight in one pan of the scales and wool yarn on the other, trying to earn a pittance for her children. Evenly poised as that, were these great powers making war. Until at last Lord Zeus conferred on Hector, Priam's son, the glory of bursting through the Achaean wall. In a piercing voice he called, "On, on, Trojans, horse breakers, breach the Argive wall and pitch a hell of fire into the ships." The listening troops obeyed and surged in a great throng against the wall to clamber between towers, carrying spears. Now Hector picked a boulder that had stood, broad-bottomed, sharp on top, before the gate. The strongest pair of men in the whole realm, as men are now, could not with ease heave up this boulder from the ground into a wagon. Lightly Hector handled it alone, for Zeus, the son of crooked-minded Cronus, made it a trifling weight for him. A shepherd will carry easily in either hand a new-shorn ram's fleece, no great weight for him. So Hector, lifting up the stone, went forward to the high double doors of heavy timber closing the gateway. Two crossbars inside were rammed in place, and one pin fastened them. He took a stance before the doors and braced, with feet apart, for full force in the blow, then smashed down at the center. Hinges cracked on both sides as the great mass tumbled through, the doors groaned inward, bars gave way, the planks were splintered by the impact right and left, and through the breach in glory Hector leaped, his visage dark as nightfall, though he shone terribly from the bronze that he was dressed in, carrying a brace of spears. No one could stop him, none but the gods, as he leaped through the gate, his eyes burning. Then he wheeled and called the mass of Trojans to come charging on across the wall, and they obeyed him, some by swarming over, others pouring through the very gateway. And the Danaans broke for their long ships in an uproar always rising.